Scripture tells us, "Be still and know that I am God." Let us quiet our hearts and our minds as we come before our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our faithful God, we give thanks this morning for bringing us together as the body of Christ. It is here we experience the love and support of our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is here we find a faith that helps us make sense out of the ups and downs of life, that gives us a sense of calm in the midst of life's storms, and that commands us to serve one another. We are thankful that by your grace, you have called us to be partners in Christ's service. However, Lord, we must admit that when we try to serve you by our own power and resources, we often become weary and don't have much to give. Therefore, we come to you, giver of all good gifts, to please endow us with your love, that we might love the unlovable, and with your joy, that we might reassure the discouraged. Grant us your peace, that we might soothe the embattled, and your endurance, that we might carry the troubled. Bless us with your gentleness, that we might tame the wild, and with your humility, that we might subdue the proud. Send us your patience, that we might calm the angry, and with your faith, that we might trust the unknown. O compassionate God, as your people called to love one another, we also pray for the needs of others. We pray for those recovering from surgery, those facing health challenges, and those undergoing rehabilitation. For those who are ill in body or mind, who long for your healing touch. O gracious Father, in your mercy, please make the weak strong, the sick healthy, the broken whole, and strengthen and encourage those who serve them as agents of your love. We pray for those who have some tough decisions to make regarding their future and the future of their loved ones. May they be given your wisdom and peace as they try to discern your will for their lives. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one or the loss of a relationship. Grant them your peace and comfort. Radiate through their lives with the light of your presence as they travel through this dark valley of despair. We pray for families that feel the strain and stress of daily living together. Out of all the give and take of life, may there be growth and greater unity and a drawing closer to you and to one another. O loving Father, may each person here and those that are heavy on our hearts find in Jesus a sure foundation for their lives and rely on his strength through all of life's circumstances. In the week ahead, help us to live each day with a hunger and thirst for righteousness and awareness of your power and presence. Use us as a channel of blessing to those in our homes, at work, at play, and in our communities. And may people everywhere know we are Christians by the way we live our lives and show our love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
To Luke chapter 9, the verses 28 through 36. About 8 days after saying this, he climbed the mountain to pray, taking Peter, John, and James along. And while he was in prayer, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became blinding white. At once two men were there talking with him. They turned out to be Moses and Elijah. And what a glorious appearance they made. They talked over his exodus, the one Jesus was about to complete in Jerusalem. And meanwhile, Peter and those with him were slumped over in sleep. When they came to, rubbing their eyes, they saw Jesus in his glory and the two men standing with him. When Moses and Elijah had left, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, this is a great moment. Let's build three memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He blurted this out without thinking. And while he was babbling on like this, a light radiant cloud enveloped them, and as they found themselves buried in the cloud, they became deeply aware of God. Then there was a voice out of the cloud, "This is my Son, the Chosen, listen to him." And when the sound of the voice died away, they saw Jesus there alone, and they were speechless. And they continued speechless, said not one thing to anyone during those days of what they had seen. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that you and I become mightily aware of God's presence as we delve deeper into the revelation of God's Word. Have you ever experienced God's presence in your life in such a profound way that it touched and changed your life forever? Did it ever happen to you that suddenly you sensed the presence of God in a powerful way? I wish there was time, because it would be great if we could just go through the pews and say, if you've had such an experience, or if you're having such experiences, why don't you share the fact? One could really describe such an experience as a mountaintop, or others may call it an hallelujah experience. The moment when you realize anew, I'm not alone. My faith is not in vain. I'm not responding to scriptures of thousands of years ago. It happens here and now. God is with me. Now, the question is, what exactly happened when Jesus and three of his disciples climbed a mountain to pray? Now, Luke's gospel describes the confusion of the disciples. And he really sums it up by saying that experience left them speechless. They couldn't explain. They couldn't tell exactly what happened. They just knew. And they would never doubt again. They found themselves buried in a cloud. They became deeply aware of God. You know, in the last sermon that he ever preached, Martin Luther King tells something that one could call the spiritual secret of the faith, the life and the vision of this remarkable man. I quote Martin Luther King, he said, "And then I got into Memphis And some began to talk about the threats that were out or what would happen to me. Well, I do not know what will happen now. We have some difficult days ahead. But it really does not matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop and don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He has allowed me to go up to the mountaintop. And I have looked over and I've seen the promised land. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I do not fear any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Today we can look back and say how prophetic those words really were. Well, for our biblical students and theologians, we can tell you that nobody today knows for sure even where the Mount of Transfiguration is. There are many theories, but no certainty. All that we really know is that Jesus and His three closest friends climbed a mountain that became a mountain of prayer and entered into the presence of God. Obviously, something wondrous and miraculous happened to them. It was something so radiant and mystical that the afterglow never left Peter. It was years later that Peter remembered the day, different from all the others. And he wrote, still in a kind of a holy hush, "We had been eyewitnesses of His Majesty." The Mount of Transfiguration says to us that when we take the sum total of everything beautiful and wonderful that we've ever experienced through our five senses, they are sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell, and when we add up every good feeling that we ever had about friends, about family, about health and hope, and when we include everything that this world has to offer us for happiness, joy, and peace, that is not the end. There is something else. There is still more. And we're talking about that experience. That still more on Transfiguration Day. There is a reality that our scientific instruments cannot measure. Our philosophical minds cannot fathom, and our most sophisticated rockets can never reach. It's the realm of the spiritual. It is the reality of the living God. And there is more to reality than what our senses can detect. There's a few lessons to be learned. You know, the Mount of Transfiguration says to us, there are more important things in life than the fear of dying. Because some people have that fear, that darkness that is to come. As the years go on, for many people it becomes very, very real. The mountain says, whoa now, don't panic. There are more important things in life than that uncertainty. What sad, meaningless lives most of people in our secular world still live. We seldom discuss the value, the enormity, and the power of spiritual values. Now, I know many of you listening to me right now is thinking in their hearts, thank you, Dr. Bobby. Thank you. Thank you for taking months out of your precious time to speak to us in smaller groups about the presence of God. You are a godsend to us. The importance of the value and meaning of life is born out of a true relationship with the divine. Many people live as if life really does not have a deeper spiritual dimension. And people who live like that tell them it shows. They cannot go beyond the surface. Because for them there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Show me a human being that only chooses to talk about superficial things and tell everyday stories but nothing else, and I will show you a person who has to declare spiritual bankruptcy and will continue missing real life because they've never been to the mountaintop with Jesus. Has your eyes seen the glory of the coming of the Lord? For the Apostle Peter, this mountaintop experience was so profound, so inspiring, so life-changing, that he would journey through the rest of his life, through all of its ups and downs, with the one assurance, no matter what befell him along the way, I am a witness of God's majesty. I've been to the mountaintop. We're entering Lenten time in the year 2012. The witness of Scripture, the Spirit of God, our Christian faith, sound the invitation. Come. Come to the mountain. Come sense the love, the inspiration, the life-changing power of the presence of God. You know what? That also shows. I've known and loved people throughout my life who had been to the mountaintop. I was there. Saw it in their lives. It was also my task as a minister to bury many of them. But I can assure you that their memory will live on and their inspiration will never die. They've been to the mountaintop, and since then they've shared with us the glory of the presence of God. How do we recognize those who've been to the mountaintop? Well, this is the difficult part. What did the mountaintop experience mean for Jesus? Well, no good news there. A return to the last 40 days of his earthly life. Crucifixion. The mountaintop was followed with crucifixion. As Christians we say, aha, yeah. But also victory over death. For the disciples, it meant a return to the most difficult time they would ever experience. When Jesus was gone, their lives changed, not for the better. And in many legends, many stories, we do know which are all true, most of them suffered a martyr's death afterwards. For you and me, a mountaintop experience may be a challenge to finally say yes to the voice of God that's been calling for so long. Come to me, you who are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Oh, there is so much more to Christian commitment than only going to the mountaintop. It's a story that I like to tell because it's a true story in closing. Many years ago, a missionary went to a remote part in New Guinea and he spent some years in the Fly River region before he returned. And obviously, he came back to civilization as we know it, and many people asked, what did you experience as a missionary way up there in New Guinea? And he told a story that says so much. He said those people were utterly devoid of moral sense. They were worse than beasts. If some mothers were carrying a little baby and the baby began to cry, she would throw it into the ditch and let it die. If a man saw his father break his leg, he would leave him upon the roadside to die. I found no compassion whatsoever. They didn't even know what it meant. And then the question came, well, what did you do for people like that? Did you preach to them? The friend asked, preach? No. No, I did not dare. And after all, they would not listen. So I decided to just live amongst them instead. Lived? How did you live? Well, when I saw a forsaken baby crying, I comforted it. And when I saw a man with a broken leg, I mended it. When I saw people in distress, I took them in and pitied them. I took care of them. I lived that way. And those people, one after the other, came to me and said, why are you doing this? What does this mean? He said, and so they gave me the opening, the chance. And I told them about my faith. Did you succeed? And a smile came to the missionary's face. He said, well, when I left, there was a vibrant and a growing church. I knew I could go because they understood how to sense the presence of God and to recognize it for what it was. Well, when I thought about this, I thought, I don't know that missionary. I wish I could meet him in person. But one thing was for sure. He had been to the mountaintop. He knew what it meant. It's Lenten time. Our journey to Easter begins today. Oh God, lead and bring us to the mountaintop. We yearn, oh Christ, for wholeness and for your healing touch. Too long have we felt helpless. Our burdens seem too much. Forgetting all our pretenses, we now make our pleadings heard. in hope and expectation, await your gracious word. Break now the bread of life. O God, for me, for you, for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.